whatever you'd like, but Phyllis will be cooking the turkey, and I'm going to heat the ham, and we'll have dressing and potatoes and gravy. And so it will be a fun time to stay, and that is December 4th. So December 4th. Now, December 3rd, we're going to meet here to decorate the church. So anybody that wants to come and decorate the 3rd, on December 3rd, we'll start at 10 o'clock and get some decorations up for the church to look Christmassy. And then the 4th, we'll have our potluck. So we'll be in the Christmas mood for December. So I think next week is our collection day for our shoeboxes. So there's shoeboxes back there if anybody needs to grab some. And bring them next week, and we collect them and send them off. So hopefully I will not be here next week, but Ivan and we'll pray over them, and then we will have Bill and Donna are going to take them to the collection center. So, and then we'll watch a video.
My name is Edouard Ndeki, and I'm from Senegal. 95% of people where I grow up are not Christian. But from all of that population, God picked my dad to be a pastor. Growing up was not easy, seeing your friends going to school. We have to stay at home because my parents didn't have money to send us at school. I was so upset because all my friends have everything they want. When I say, Dad, why we are not blessed like them? And he said, even if you don't eat, even if you don't have stuff, Edward, remember that you have God. I was involved in the group Good News Club. That Wednesday was amazing. We were coming to have fun, laughter, joke, to do all of that. And we received a box. We opened it. In the side of the box was toothbrush. I didn't have toothbrush when I was growing up. We used charcoals and salt to brush our teeth. Having it for the first time was just a miracle. This is the wow. It was wrapped like this. I didn't know what is inside. Carefully. This is my yo-yo. This is my yo-yo. Every day, every night, with the neighborhood, we always play. Someone cares. God, He cares so much. He has to use someone somewhere around the world to pack my box. I came to United States because of my background, being a track athlete. I was involved in the church in my local town. And one time, I saw the boxes I received when I was 14. And I was so excited. I didn't have words. I was just like, what is this? Where did this come from? It's reality here, people. It's you guys are doing this for real? And they say, yes. I say, I received one when I was 14. And everybody was so happy. Everybody was looking at me like, yes, you are in our church. Seeing God connecting me being 14 and coming to United States and to see the two elements just connected as a perfect picture, show me that I'm in the right spot. I'm in the right place serving the Lord. Daniel is my son. Daniel is the version of Edward in Senegal, but in United States. Talking to him is the opportunity like my dad told me. No matter what you struggle with, remember, you have a God that loves you. Daniel packed box, and he liked to say also his dad received one. In the corner of this universe, you have a kid that is waiting for you to pack a box for them. It's not just a shoebox that you are packing. You are changing lives.
Wow. How exciting that is. It's hard to... We have so much here. We have so much to be blessed with, don't we? Yes, we do. Okay, I think I've gotten all of the announcements done. So let's go to our call to work. Oh, we're going to pray first. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this time that we have together here. We thank you that we can come and just worship you and praise your name and just let the world go way outside and just focus on you for this hour. Be with us, Lord Jesus, and be with the songs, the words that we sing, be with the technicians. Father, be with Teresa as she shares your word, Lord, and just may it touch our hearts as we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, that we have this place that we can come and worship you. Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, our call to worship today, Psalms 55:22. You can stand for this. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Amen. All right, we're going to start singing with Holy, Holy, Holy.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name I magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing fresh from the word. Sweet the from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet passed. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden's a play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Through it all, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Maybe see.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a slide behind me up on the screen, I believe, that links to Tithely. So if you are wanting to give online or more privately, or if you are unable to come in and you're on our Facebook feed and you still want the opportunity to give, please check out the website, click on Give, and it'll take you to Tithely, where we're set up to receive tithes and offerings there as well. So just so people are aware of that. Let us pray together. Father God, thank you for the many blessings you have given us, none the least each to the other. But of the finances you give us, the income you bring, the safety and security it provides, and the trust in you for it, please accept back just a portion as you've commanded to keep your kingdom going in this earth. Amen. Now time to be family. I'd like to lift up my father-in-law, Lou. He is doing better with some physical therapy, so a little praise there that he's building up some strength again. And all y'all who've helped somebody, you know, regain strength, you got all those TheraBands and little, you know, like doodad barbell things. And he's been in a good mood this last weekend. He has done his exercises, being in a better mood, and it's making a difference. So praise God for that. Continued prayer that he'll keep a positive outlook on all of that. He thinks the therapy is doing him good. So, and then my wife Sarah would like me to share a continued prayer need. She has a coworker, Alyssa, and we've lifted her up a number of times with a very long battle with cancer. And Alyssa was going in for some spine straightening surgery. And as they went in, they found a huge infection all along her spine that was unknown. And so as they then tried to clean out that infection, they nicked her aorta, and the aorta started bleeding. And one of the doctors, who, thank God, she had lost a couple ribs to the bone cancer, reached right through her missing ribs and held the aorta for a couple hours until they got that all squared away. But in the process, they found her osteocarcinoma in an 11th rib now, and her cancer is now back. So through all of this, she is still praising her God in all of her posts. She is still trusting Jesus. And if you guys know, she's already been battling cancer for over 2 years before this, finding out her cancer is back in this way. And so she's got tons of rods in her back. She's got a patched up aorta right now and has found out that she's going to have to lose another rib and see if there's any cancer anywhere else. Her name is Alyssa. And she's a gem. God has made her look beautiful to everybody through this. Yeah, she is still, they had to put her through this process. They had to put her in a medically induced coma for 7 days to get all this done. She had multiple surgeries, obviously. They couldn't just take care of all the infection along the spine in the first one. And so, but she's still back at the pediatric treatment place because she's so petite. So, I'm not sure how old she is, but I want to say mid to late 20s. Yeah. I don't believe her and her husband have had any children yet, but I don't know. Sarah obviously knows the story better than me, but I thought she did a pretty good job filling me in that much. So prayers for Alyssa. Her name is Alyssa. A-L-Y-S-S-A. Alyssa. Anybody else have a praise or a prayer request to share with the family today? Bill. Storm losses. Yeah. So praise that Jeremy, with a fainting spell at work, is now back with us and doing well. And then praise for the cleanup time that was done around the church. Kind of impromptu fellowship with cleanup. Absolutely. Teresa. So Teresa's lifting up the praise of a new furnace that we have here and a warm sanctuary to be in and worship our Lord and Savior in today. Josh, I think I saw your hand. Josh is grateful to be back with us in person this Sunday after participating in Special Olympics bowling, and that went well, and he's praising God for the many other things on his plate and the many other family members he has, his brother, his mom, his dad, I'm sure. Probably praise God for your sister too. praise God for the cleaners going on as well. Yep, and our church family that we all get to be here. Amen. Yeah. Judy. Prayers for Lori Cooper, who's been ill and had a really rough week, is now on antibiotics and will hopefully cure what's ailing her, and that she's been so weak she hasn't wanted to get out of bed. So prayer for strength in that way. She was in the ER all day Thursday. So lots of prayers for Lori Cooper. I don't know why, but now just Dan and Becky Krum are coming to mind too. So continued prayer for Dan Krum as he's going through cancer treatments, and Becky as she goes alongside of him. Claire Bear, I see your little hand. Oh, prayer for her wiggly tooth. Prayer for her wiggly tooth. Carolyn. So prayer for Fred Marble, home with a head cold at least. And I don't know. All right, men out there, I don't know. But when I get sick, it's like a man cold. It is bad. Otherwise, I don't get sick. Usually the guy who, you know, last man standing forever. And I think my dad's the same way. He'll push through anything and everything. But if he is not at church, he is not well, trust me. So, prayers for Fred. One more. Carolyn is praising God for a heated steering wheel. You know, sometimes it's the little things that mean so much. Donna. So Levina Schmidt is asking for prayer for her brother who has an aneurysm on his aorta. Pretty serious. And you said he was going in for surgery really soon, right? Tomorrow. Prayer. I don't remember his name, do you? Okay, she didn't say. So Levina Schmidt's brother.
Libby has her endoscopy this Tuesday. Pray that they will find something.
Find a cause.
Whatever's causing the problem.
So Linda wants to lift up Libby with an endoscopy coming up. And when was it?
It's on Tuesday.
And that would be definitive and give the doctors information as to what's been bothering her so much. Rhonda. So Rhonda is lifting up her brothers and their health. Was it co-worker? A co-worker with a skin cancer removal. Oh, no, that's your dad with the skin cancer removal procedure. And the co-worker, Greg with lupus. So lifting up those three. And the praise that her nephew was here this last week. And it was a blessing to have that time with him. Absolutely. Let's not forget those praises. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in our requests that we forget. And I mean, I'm sure y'all know that I'll get down on my knees next to my kids and do prayer time. And the last thing in their prayers they have to do, or they're not done, is they have to give at least two thankfuls or praying over. And so we got to remember to tell, we got to tell Jesus thank you. Because honestly, I think that thank you puts us in a better place here than all the requests. So, Judy. That's awesome. So Brad's family, or Brad's new wife, yes. So Judy is asking for safe travels to and from Texas to visit Brad and his new wife and to do an American Thanksgiving. Oh, Brad's here. Okay. All right, I got it now. Okay, so Brad, you and his wife are all going to Texas to visit her family. Okay. And put on an American Thanksgiving. Should be fun, but God give the traveling mercies. Debbie. A prayer for Judy's grandson Kyle, that he is able to make it still today. Yeah. Debbie, did you have another one? Praise God for a new printer, Debbie says, and that she didn't have to like crawl all around her workstation to get it installed. Yeah. I understand. I've done that for a lot of people. I understand that. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how many of y'all know, but back in my single days before I went down a better road, I managed to fill my hours with tech support for people who would ask and just go, this ain't working. Okay, I'm coming. Oh, I don't know how to fix that. Give me a couple hours. So, absolutely. I want to lift up that youth kid that I've talked about that's in Washington County. I will say she this week is being released on the 18th. And and she is still finalizing where she's going to go and reunite with her four children. So there's a lot on her plate. She has been keeping up with her Bible reading, and there is nothing that can change a heart like the Word of God, I'm telling you. And she tried to call me twice yesterday, but I was out at Camp R&R the whole time for Airsoft, for Dawson, and so I didn't get to speak with her. So continued prayer for her, and hopefully she can call me today, and I can check and see where she's at, and know she has a place to land. She wants to come, and she wants to bring her kids, and she wants to come back to church. And that would, like, double our children's program overnight, so that would be awesome. It's also on her heart to be involved in that children's program, so we need to be prayerful about that as well. And she would definitely need support. But yeah, could be something transformational. Yeah, so that might be a request. It might also be a praise. It's both. So God is calling his children home. Debbie.
Yes.
That would be awesome if we could get Carol Baker back. If she needs a whole bubble, we'll build it. I mean, it's all good. Anyone else? We have so many things to be grateful for in such trying times. Father God, thank you so much for being God Almighty, God all-knowing, God all-present, and always with us, always watching us, always protecting. Thank you for being God. Thank you that we can accept that rock in our lives and cling to you through every moment of trial, through every illness, every sickness that's been shared here today, people fighting cancer, people fighting head colds, infections. Lord, your body here is just working hard to be hands and feet for you. Fallen and ill, but perfect in spirit. Lord, please watch over many who have shared that they're going to be traveling, they're going to be gone out of town over holidays. Make straight their paths. Take obstacles out of the way. And Lord, as we come to a huge Christmas season this year, bring a revival to this land and a reemergence of who you are born to be, to die, to sacrifice yourself, to be resurrected, that we would be resurrected in you. Bring a rebirth in this nation as we celebrate your birth in our hearts. Jesus is the reason for this season. And Lord, keep our focus on that as we plunge headlong into busyness before us. Lord, we thank you for time spent away from here, that Josh could be a blessing to others at Special Olympics, but thank you for him being able to be back. Our body feels a little more complete. Lord, we ask for others who are still to come to this church. Others we don't know about, others that are already signaling intent. Lord, we know, oh Holy Spirit, we know you are working on their hearts. work on ours to be ready to receive them and give them the words of love that you know they need. Give it to our lips to restore them gently and firmly attach them to the rock. And Lord, we lift up this nation. You designed it to be a shiny city on a hill, just like you intended Israel to be. Restore our luster. Lord, we've just come through a divisive time. Heal our land. Heal our hearts. Heal our minds. And be love through us to all. Lord, impress that upon the leadership of this country right now. Lord, give them wisdom, give them peace, give them guidance. Knock on the doors of their hearts and give them you. That all people would benefit from your godly wisdom. Protect them, guide them in the ways of righteousness. For your name's sake, and us as well. Amen. Where's some kiddos? Any kiddos out there? Well, here's two of my favorites. I think we have a kids' worship song. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've got the joy.
Joy, 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 down in my heart. Do you have it? Do we have an accompaniment, or is it acapulco?
It's acapella.
Acapella. Okay.
I've got the joy down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart.
Lord Jesus, let us have that same love in our hearts, knowing that we are but your children. And we can trust you to be our Father and be our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a great song to remember to have in your heart when you're going around busy about your day. Remember that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, so you too can have the joy of Jesus Christ, your Savior, down in your heart. Amen. All right. Today's passage takes us closer to Jesus approaching the cross. He's in his last couple of weeks before his crucifixion, if you've been following along with us in the book of Luke. And if you look at Luke's account closely, you'll notice towards the end, Jesus actually is spending a lot of time either in or around the temple in his last weeks. So let's take a look at a portion of his journey. And we're going to be reading from Luke 21. I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation, but again, I encourage you, follow along in whichever translation you prefer. And we're going to start with verse 5. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." "Teacher," they asked, "when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place?" And then he replied, "Oh, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. And they're going to say, 'The time has come.' But don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately." And then he added, "Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you," Jesus says, "your parents, your brothers, your relatives, your friends, they will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers." Listen to what he says. "But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls." Amen to God's word. It's fascinating what he's sharing with his disciples, again, as he's getting closer to the cross. Now, allow me to set the context. Just before Jesus forecasts the ruin of the temple, he comments on the spirit of a poor woman who has offered her donation despite her financial lack. And then Jesus compares her to the many who come and give regularly at the temple, but they give out of their abundance. So just before he tells them about the destruction of the temple, he says, "Hey, look at that woman over there. She is doing something awesome. She's giving out of her lack. She's giving out of her faith to God. Whereas look at all these other people around here. They're giving because it's extra money in their pocket." So it's interesting that those two things are right next to each other. He calls out her sacrifice. Now, there's no recorded response of his observation. Like, Luke doesn't say, well, what did the disciples respond to that? There's nothing there. And then someone among them apparently changes the subject by commenting, "Oh, but it sure is beautiful in this temple." It's like, that's an odd response when he's talking about this over here. "Oh, but it's so beautiful in here. Look at all the things with it. Oh, I really like how they spruced the place up. They've painted a couple of walls. And oh, look at the grounds. They must have been working here over the weekend. It looks so beautiful. So well maintained." But then Jesus, he's listening to them talk about how beautiful the grounds are. He builds on his statement about the woman who sacrificed in order to support God's ministry. He tries to refocus the disciples' attention to the importance of sacrifice and the need to focus on the important things. So this is why he explains the insignificant things like a building will fade. Because they say, oh, how beautiful it is. And he's like, oh, I think you've missed the point. This building that you're admiring right now, where you've got your Sunday school classrooms and all the people are coming in, all of the strawberry festivals, all those things, wonderful. But guess what? It's going to end. They will fade. In fact, he says to his disciples, this building will be utterly destroyed. So the disciples are getting caught up and wanting to know more about the details, because when they hear Jesus say that, they're like, oh, whoa, what? Our beloved temple is going to be destroyed? Well, Jesus, you have to tell us, when is this going to happen? We want to get prepared for that. So then they start focusing on the details. They want a hint about when is it going to happen so you'll know what to do. We want to know when it's coming close. And so Jesus, being as wise as he always is, he senses their worry. He senses their concern. And so this is why he assures them, you don't need to fear the future. And so he gives them a further description of what's to come along with the destruction of the temple. And so what does he say? I mean, go back to that scripture. It's pretty bad stuff. But here's a list of what I've captured. False prophets will happen. People pretending that, oh, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light, follow me. Oh, by the way, if you drink this Kool-Aid, we'll all get to heaven together. Oh, if you just wear this type of outfit and do this thing, live over here in this neighborhood, you'll get to go to glory. He's like, don't believe them. He says there's going to be wars. There's going to be insurrections. And how many wars have we seen? I think there are a lot of people who go around, Brother Bill, and they're like, oh, see, there's a sign. We have more wars. Note to self, there's been tons of wars since the creation of mankind. So just because we have one more war on our list of wars doesn't mean that Jesus is coming tomorrow. This weekend. Don't get caught up in that, is what he's saying. He's like, oh, people, I need you to focus. Focus. Yes, there's going to be wars. Yes, there's going to be insurrections. He even says there's going to be natural disasters, earthquakes. I'm so glad I live in Oregon, in Portland in particular, because I don't, in my neighborhood, Sister Lori, there's no hurricanes. I don't have to worry about, well, occasionally an earthquake. But, you know, all the things that are happening and the rest of the planet, I'm sitting pretty good. But it doesn't mean that it won't happen at some point in time. But I don't need to worry about those things. I don't need to put my focus on that. There are plagues. We've survived COVID. There's been other things that have happened throughout humanity's time. There are signs from heaven, Jesus says, will happen. And then he says this, the ugly P word, persecution. Nobody likes that. But he has to warn them. Yes, even some of your very beloved family members will disown you, will get into arguments with you about who God is and is Jesus really real? And it's like, for real, Jesus? He's like, yeah, that's going to happen too. And some of you, it's going to cost you your very life. And we know, and we, because we have the opportunity to look back in Holy Scripture and go, oh yeah, that did happen. There were lots of Christians of that day who were persecuted. We know this to be true. So Jesus tells them about the signs to watch for, And he says this also, to be mindful that the end of the temple won't happen immediately when those signs occur. So we have to keep remembering, oh, so he's telling them, yes, the temple is going to be destroyed, but it's not going to happen today. So as soon as you see something happen, like an earthquake, for example, don't think, oh, Jesus said we were going to experience an earthquake. Now we know the temple's going to be. No, he's saying don't get caught up in that. Just know that these things are going to happen. So verse 9 says, yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. So then, of course, as you're reading this scripture passage, at least this is the question that came up in my mind, Sister Rhonda, was, well, what's the end? Because he says, you know, these things will take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Sometimes in scripture, we read a passage and it actually has a couple of applications. And so the literary term for that is double entendre. It means you have a dual meaning. And many times in scriptures, that's the case. So this is why, Sister Linda, people start arguing over, well, is it now? Is it later? Is that the end times, like the end times? Or is it just the biblical end times of when Moses' day or Noah's day or, you know, you name the person in the Bible? But generally speaking, Christians all around the world believe there's two applications. The first meaning is, this is what most people agree on, that Jesus plainly explains it because it's right there in scripture. He's talking about the destruction of the temple because that's where they are. He said, this building, gone. It's going to be toast. It's going to be rubble. And we know, looking back in history, that that's exactly what happened. Because in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Finally, once and for all. And there is no temple, even now in 2022. There's still no temple. That happened in 70 AD. Now, some scholars will argue that Luke is purposeful in citing this conversation with Jesus because Luke actually, he's collecting the stories as he's going along following Jesus. But his stories actually don't get published. They don't get written down and distributed to the masses until later, until after Jesus is long gone and risen back, gone into heaven. And after the temple is actually destroyed. So people think, oh, that's why he's making that connection. He puts it there because he knows that Jesus said one day the temple's going to be gone. So Luke, being dutiful, he's writing it all down. And so he puts it there that, see, Jesus told us it was going to happen. Y'all didn't believe him, but look, it happened. Jesus' prediction came true. Not only was the temple destroyed, but the Jewish people were scattered. We call it the diaspora, right? They went to all kinds of places. Survivors were run out of Jerusalem by the Romans during the last Jewish revolt. Now, you have to go back and look at Jewish history to see what happened. They rebelled a couple of times against those who had conquered their city and their beloved nation. But it was in that last stand when the big diaspora happened, and that was in 70 AD. And if you go and look at the story, oh, it's horrible. I mean, it's horrific. That's what war is. War is horrific. There's no nice things about war. But they slaughtered thousands of Jewish people, and those who survived were literally chased out of the city. So Jerusalem was empty of Jewish people because the Romans had come in and taken. So that's what happens. And so Luke says, Jesus said it would happen. And guess what? It actually happened. So now the second meaning is tied to the latter portion of Jesus' description of the days to come. He foretells of a time of Christian persecution. Again, his immediate disciples actually lived that out. People were thrown into jail because they preached in his name. And there are two sets of enemies. Two. Listen to what, go back to the scripture and read what Jesus said. the Romans, who ultimately struck down their temple, ran them out of Jerusalem. But then there were also other Jews who were their enemies. Because remember, the disciples are Jewish people. But they're Messianic Jews. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then you have the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, who are saying, that one kid from that one neighborhood? Oh, please. He's not the Messiah. So you have Jewish people who are now your own family. The people you go to church with. Now against you. And we all know the famous Pharisee. His name was Saul. He had a personal mission to go out and persecute those people who believed in Christ. He's not our Savior. How dare they say that? And he would arrange for them to be stoned. Remember the story? He was there when Stephen, one of the disciples, took off his cloak, but they were gambling. Like, okay, they were cast lots, is what Jewish people did. Who's going to get his coat? And Paul, who was named Saul, is standing there watching this happen. A Jewish man persecuting another Jew. And yet, God turned Saul's life around, and so he became Paul, and we become his beloved brother to us, who then goes on and carries out the name of Christ. But he was one of those who persecuted those new Christians. And thank God he became converted himself, but then he was on the other end of it, because he too cast into jail for preaching the name of Christ. So the second meaning doesn't end with the early Christians. And this is where our debate comes in, because most people will know automatically, okay, he's talking about the temple back then. But what does that mean for now? Because the Bible isn't just for back then. It's for us to have 2020 eyesight. Because when you look back in time, you go, we learn the lessons that some of the people back then may not have learned. Got overlooked because they were caught up in the situation. And I know there's times in our lives we can look back and go, oh yes, I remember when I was 20, this is what had happened. And then you go, oh, I'm so glad I'm so much wiser now. I mean, Sister Phyllis, thank the Lord. I have way more sense than I did when I was 20, right? At least that's the way it's supposed to go. So when we look at scripture, we're supposed to be learning lessons. You shouldn't be trying to argue with like, oh, no, that can't be real. Listen, look for the truths that are there. So the second meaning doesn't just end with the early Christians. It's passed on to us. And you will have scholars argue that the description is even further into the future to include us believers today and those who follow us. Why? Because they are going to be just like us, living our lives for Christ until the day he returns. So listen to the rest of what Jesus has to say. And this is, follow along with me. I'm going to start at verse 20 and I'll read to about 36, almost the very end of the chapter. Listen to what he says, because this applies to us today. And he says, and there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand, look up, for your salvation is near. Then he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So he says to them, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times, he says, and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. That's what he says to them. It's a lot for their minds to hold, even for us today. Wow, Jesus, that's a lot. The words of Christ vacillate between his current disciples at that time and the ones that follow centuries later. The ones living then, they actually lived. They saw the destruction of the temple, those who weren't persecuted and gave their lives before it happened. That there are many who survived the demise of the temple and being kicked out of their own city, Jerusalem. They witnessed their Jewish brothers and sisters being run from the city, the great diaspora of the Jewish people. Remember it says, sent as captives to all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem trampled by the Gentiles, which in that day was the Romans, the Roman Empire. But Jesus also talks about, however, his return from his ascension post-resurrection. That's verse 27. We call that the great getting up day, right? That's the great getting up day. Then everyone, it says, will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. It reminds me of, fast forward, when after he has died and he's been resurrected, and then he says goodbye to his disciples. We could also call Jesus Cloud Rider, right? Because he goes up into the cloud. He's riding the cloud and he leaves them. And someone says, hey, why are y'all just standing there looking at him? Just as you see him now riding the clouds, he's going to come back riding the clouds. Everybody is going to see him. It's fascinating. Cloud Rider, you'll see him coming with power and great glory. So now, in light of the two meanings, Jesus' main point isn't the list of signs or the events themselves. His main point is that regardless of whatever happens, his disciples should not fear the future. And so we, his modern day disciples, should be the same way. There's no need to fear the future. I remember growing up as a kid, just being, people would say, you know, you got to get ready for the rapture and you got to be looking for the signs. And it's like, oh, is there something magical about this? Or like, what, you know, what should I be looking for? And that's really not it. Jesus is saying, be prepared. Do what you're supposed to be doing. And yes, notice the signs of the time. But like I said, how many wars and insurrections have we had in history since Jesus left the planet? Tons. He should have been back by now, right? So that's why he's saying that's not the point. The point is there are people around you going to hell left and right, day after day. And what are you, dear one, doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you making signs? Protesting? Jesus hates sinners? What are you doing? Or are you opening up the door and saying, oh, hi, welcome. Oh, did you need a coat? You know, we have just a handful of coats. Maybe one of them will fit you. Are you hungry? We have some warm beverages. What are you doing? Stop wasting time. Jesus says, I'm going to come on a cloud with all glory and power. Will you be ready? Focus on the important things, he says to his disciples. Not the beautiful buildings you have, but living your life for God. And he tells them to be courageous, because there will be some difficult days that lie ahead, but you don't need to live in fear. because His Holy Spirit is with you to empower you. Listen to what He says. Be courageous. The perilous times will also provide you the opportunity to work out your own soul salvation, to give you an opportunity to witness, give you an opportunity to see the ultimate fruition of your salvation. What is it that you believe? Whatever it is that you believe, that's what you should be acting out in the rest of your life. Shining the light for His glory to the rest of the people in the world. He says, when this happens, you have an opportunity to tell people about Me. Not build your church, not develop your community, and get all the accolades for yourself. You have the opportunity to tell people about Christ. So look back at verse 19. By standing firm, you will win your souls. He's saying if you stand firm on the Word of God, on your belief in Me, Jesus Christ, your Savior, you won't go wrong. That investment that you made, you're going to get a wonderful, glorious return on it. In verse 28, he says, so when all these things begin to happen, stand, he says. He uses that verb twice. Stand firm and stand and look up. Your salvation is near. When we are going through hard times, Brother Scott, you don't need to sit and be like, oh no, I don't know what to do. And I feel sad. I'm overwhelmed. Yes, you are sad and you are feeling overwhelmed. And look up. Look up to your God because He has your salvation. Whatever we are facing, God has the answer. Just like last week, we were in the fellowship hall. Why? The furnace died. We had no heat in here. It's not fun to be in a cold building. It's almost like being outside. We should have just been outside on the lawn having church, right? But God worked out a miracle. He provided. He says, when you are in a situation, look up. Look to Me. I will provide what you need. Whatever it is, I will help you out. You don't need to be afraid of what their future might hold. Your salvation is near. And Jesus is saying that if they persevere, they will be victorious through Him. When it's time to testify, His Spirit will give them the right words to speak. I know there's a lot of people who are nervous because they feel like, oh, you know, I should be out, you know, witnessing more and, you know, being able to answer people when they have questions about the Bible. But Jesus is like, you know what? Y'all put that on yourself. You put that pressure on your own self. Because I didn't tell you to do that. If you would just live your life for Me, when people ask you what God has done for you, guess what? That's your testimony. You don't have to have this long dissertation, Sister Phyllis, about, well, when I was five, because I'm going to tell you now, you're going to lose them because they're going to be like, oh, she's telling me her whole life story. You don't need to do that. Just think of one time, you know, there was this day when I thought it was my last meal. And I was saying to my friend, and you tell them that one little story. And one thing, it helps people to know who God is. It helps people to know that God is real. He's not just some story that's made up in our heads. He's not a fairy tale. Share. He will give you the words to speak. And then he says, when the Son of Man returns for His church, they will be, those who believe will be in that number. Because the Holy Spirit has sealed our salvation. So there's a lot of things in that scripture. All those things that could happen, will happen. We don't need to fear any of that. No earthquake, no nothing. Because God is our salvation. And I think there's another lesson to be learned. Because he's telling them these things will happen. Stand firm in Me. Because I am your salvation. But I think there's another lesson. And the disciples, again, weren't really paying attention because they got, you know, they were so focused on how beautiful the temple was. And And then they got distracted by, oh my goodness, Jesus, you're telling us all these awful things are going to happen. We need to be prepared. So they lost maybe the true lesson that Jesus was trying to bring up to them. And that is this, that we need to pay attention to the important things that have a lasting impact, as opposed to focusing on the temporal things that really don't matter. They just really don't matter. It's really sad to me to see people arguing about stuff that, in the end, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't. We have become a group of people, a nation of folks, maybe even worldwide, people who put emphasis on the wrong syllable on a regular basis. Well, I think we should be singing hymns. Well, I might pray songs. Really? How about what does scripture say? Come with hymns and prayers. Doesn't matter what the lyrics are, who wrote the song, how old the song is. Hello, somebody. Praise and thanksgiving. That's the focus. You're supposed to come in and thank God for who he is. Don't get lost in those crazy little details by putting emphasis on the wrong syllable. Focus, like Jesus is saying. The reason he brings up that woman who gives everything because her sacrifice helps build the kingdom of God on earth. He says, this woman over here, this is what it's about. Giving your all to God. Dedicating your very life to God. Entrusting the stuff you got in your pockets. It may not be much, but when you put it in the Almighty's hand, he uses it for his glory. And then other people around you are blessed because of it. Focus on the right things. She also represents the marginalized people who Jesus taught his disciples to care for. And again, Jesus is only repeating what God the Father said back in Scripture, which for them is Old Testament. God said, take care of the people around you. There's widows, there's orphans, there's foreigners in your land. You were once a foreigner. Take care of those people. That's what we're supposed to be putting the emphasis on. It's our relationship with other human beings that has a lasting impact. Not our beautiful churches, not our meeting spaces, not even our individual homes. It's the relationships that count and that matter. The most elaborate buildings, as Jesus said, they're going to crumble, they're going to fade, they're going to pass away. But a soul lives forever. We talked about that last week, didn't we? You're either eternally going to live with God or eternally live without him. Your soul lasts forever. So the grand takeaway is to focus on our relationship with God and our fellow human beings, especially those who are marginalized, and not to get distracted by the things that challenge us or even cause us to fear. Don't get preoccupied with the what ifs. Don't let all the bad news that's on TV or that we hear on the radio or that we read in the newspapers that we see online, don't get caught up in that. Yes, it is bad. And we have a God who cares. He is the Almighty God. And he is our salvation. So this is why we don't need to fear the future. Jesus reminds his disciples and us that in the midst of all that life brings us, listen to the word from the Apostle Paul. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, somebody ought to say amen. Amen. No pestilence, no earthquake, no tornado, not inflation. Not all the bills that get passed or things that are overturned. None of that can separate us from our Savior, our salvation. Pray with me. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you for caring about us. Thank you for being our salvation. Help us, dear God, to be true to what Jesus was teaching his disciples back then, not to focus on the temporal. Yes, we live here. We are a part of this world. But we also know that we belong to you and that you want to use us in this day, in this age, in this time, in this place to be a blessing to the people around us so that they get to know who you are. And that when this life is over, we can all be together with you in glory forever and ever and ever. So we thank you, God. When we are fearful, give us courage. When we don't know what to do, give us wisdom, as your word says. Your Holy Spirit will fill our tongues with the right words to say. So I pray now for my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, that they would be empowered by your holy word, be empowered by your Spirit to not be afraid, not be ashamed, to shine their lights all for your glory, to be your hands and your feet in this very city that we live in. The school districts where we work, the places where we are employed, in the supermarket when we're standing in line and shopping and walking around a store. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be your hands and your feet. Help us to welcome those who are hungry, who are naked, who need shelter, who need to know who you are. Help us to focus on the right things and always remember that you are our salvation. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Right, today is the day that we celebrate Jesus giving his life for us. We take communion on usually the second Sunday of each month. And so today is that day designated for that. I'm going to ask one of my lovely assistants, Deacon Judy, if she would come and help me serve the rest of our body. For those of you who are at home, you can please feel free to join us virtually. Grab something to drink, and if you have crackers at home, you too could be a part of our communion. So as you grab those things, wait, don't take it just yet. We will all take it together. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Scripture teaches us that Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples that night. And he reminded them of who he really, really, and truly was, the Lamb of God. And so he teaches them a new meaning for Passover. Passover marked that time that God took his people Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they sacrificed the lamb, they shed its blood, so that they could be saved and come out of the land of Egypt. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Ah, I am that Passover lamb." So he says, "My body is going to be broken for you. Take, eat of it." And his disciples ate. And he says, "This wine, this cup, it represents my blood shed for you. Take, drink all of it." We practice this even now as his disciples. We remember what Christ did for us. He died for us. Why did he die? So that we could be with God after this life is over, forever and ever and ever. We have to believe in his sacrifice, and we do. Doing this reminds us that he is our God. He is our Savior. So Lord, bless you and keep you. We have one closing song, and then I'll be back with our benediction.
We are going to stand, and we're going to close with a consecration.
Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. My life, O Lord, I give to thee. My talents, time, and all. I'll hear thy faintest call. My all, O Lord, to thee I give, accepted as thine own. For thee alone I'll ever live, my heart shall be thy throne. My life, O Lord, I give to my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call.
Thank God for his loving voice that calls us day after day, moment after moment, to come and follow me. Let us go, knowing that we are following that inner voice that says, do this, do that, all for God's glory. So be inspired, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, that God is with you. He wants you to be victorious for his glory. Shine your light, be salt, so that others around you will know that God is real and that he cares for you and them. Go in God's peace and in his grace. Until we meet again, peace be with you. Lord bless you and keep you this week.